We are talking about what it means to be a Christian. This week we are going to talk about what being a Christian is not. So there are lots of misconceptions, ideas that we have about what being a Christian has to look like. Things that from our culture, our understanding of the Bible and growing up in church, sometimes we think that it has to be these things. And we, as a result of that, can have ideas that we put on our faith that aren't even true. And we try to live in a place of not fully understanding the truth of the gospel. Have you ever been signed up for something or gone to do something that didn't turn out the way that you expected it to go? One time, my family and I, yes, you have, I know it, right? Sometimes it's crazy. It's like, I didn't see that coming. My family and I were on a trip in Australia. And we were like, hey, let's go see the Great Barrier Reef. This is going to be awesome. We got there out in this boat, and the waves were horrible, and everyone was tossing their cookies. If you know what I mean, off the side of the boat, which was disgusting. And I remember thinking, like, we paid money for this. This trip is supposed to be awesome and fun, not a throw-up festival. And so people were getting sick and crazy. Our lives as Christians can feel like, oh, I thought I was signing up for this great fun trip. And then it turns out weird or different than you thought it was going to. So what I did, thinking about ships and storms and waves and just stuff turning out different than we thought, I looked up a YouTube video about ships getting crushed with waves. So we're going to watch that real quick just to show that sometimes life doesn't turn out the way you want. So there's a ship. And there's a huge wave. About to crush it. Bam. Biggest boat collisions and crashes. Thumbs up, exclamation point. Look at this guy. Who's this guy? He probably went to heaven. And this boat is about to get crushed. Yup. That trip didn't go the way they thought it was going to. Oh, that would be so freaky. Music is so, like, intense. That's just a picture of a wave, I think. I don't think there's even a ship in that one. So intense. Let's do it. This is actually like a cruise ship looking thing. Look at that. Look at all the water pouring out. That's not good, except for it doesn't sink. But it looks like it might. This is a huge boat that looks like it comes completely out of the water. That is a freighter. This music could have been timed better. It's not like Purdy was like, whoa, something great. No. I think the next shot is of an aircraft carrier. Oh, no. The one I did the same thing at the other circle. Look at that. Look at all of the water pouring out of the front of that. That's ridiculous. Those people are definitely feeling sick on that ship. I can tell you, aircraft carrier, there's a helicopter just getting crushed by waves. It's out of control. It's out of control. You can't control that. Because it's the ocean, and the ocean's big, strong, it's crazy. Subscribe and thumbs up, exclamation point. Two exclamation points. So that guy's excited. These people get on these ships, and they're like, hey, I thought this was going to be awesome. Our faith can feel like that. We feel surprised by expectations, and we often feel guilty about things that we can't do or feel like we should do or have to do. We are going to talk about a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Galatia about what being a Christian is not, because we want to turn it into these things. We want to turn it into things that it isn't. In verses 1 through 5, this is sort of, he starts the tone of this chapter, this part of the letter to them, it's like very angry and frustrated. He said, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Did you receive the Spirit by following all the rules perfectly, or did you receive the Spirit by believing what you heard about Jesus? He's saying, it's which way is it? It can't be both. You can't earn it, and you can't receive it by faith. You can't do both those things at the same time. Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again, I ask you, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by you believing what you heard? He's saying, does God make things happen around you because of what you do? And that's sort of what we want to believe. We want to believe that we can earn it. We want to believe that we can follow the rules so well that God then will do these things. But that makes us in control. That turns us into God. In this distance, this sin that we struggle with, this desire for us to be God, is so intense that it creates this huge gap between us and God because he is perfect and we are not. And the gap is so huge, there's nothing you and I can do to get ourselves there. You can't get yourself to God just by sheer act of will, by saying, I'm going to be so good that eventually I'll be back into a relationship with God. We cannot do that. How many of you have heard of the Mars colonization project that people are into right now? Yes. Oh, it was on the Big Bang Theory? They talked about it? Okay. There's a crazy rich corporation or dude, what's that? They did it? They narrowed it down? Okay, so they're going to take five people to Mars for a, get this, one-way trip. In 2019, it takes 7 months to get there in a rocket ship. Do you have a statement or question?
Yeah, I have a statement.
Okay.
Well, we had a video conference with NASA the other day.
You did?
My school.
Your school did. Okay, talks to NASA.
And
okay, this is, get there.
And they said
quickly.
They were gonna go to Mars by 2022.
Oh, well, there you go. So there's apparently a race. So here's the story. They, like 200,000 people applied. They're narrowing it down to five. They all have to get in this tiny ship for 7 months. And then they get to Mars and they're going to build a little house in which to live and never come home. It's a one-way ticket. And there are people with like fiancés and families applying. What's that? I think the news station I watched the show about said 200,000 people. So anyway, they're narrowing it down, and they're going to send these people. So imagine that you're one of the applicants, and you're like, hey, and you get the rejection email, and you're pretty frustrated. You're like, well, guess what? I don't need you, company. I'm going to figure out how to get myself to Mars. I'm going to do that. I can figure that out. And then your plan is this. Let's watch this video about how these guys are. And their hands aren't fast enough, so it shoots all over them. That's awesome. You guys are bad at that. Alright, so you're like, I don't care about going to Mars with your spaceships. I'm gonna do this. And it shoots pop everywhere and then goes down his pants. He's got pop all in his pants right now. That's a bad plan. That is a bad plan to get to Mars. The crazy thing is that literally we, by trying to follow the rules, are like guys with 2-liter things of Diet Coke and trying to propel ourselves into space. It doesn't make any sense, but yet we try to do it over and over. And then we need to recognize that that gap is just so big. And in doing that, we need to know that our sin keeps us from being able to be in relationship with God. But yet Jesus did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. In verses 6 through 9, he says, it's not about the rules. Did you think that you were saved by what you did? That doesn't make any sense. You can't earn it. And he continues and talks about Abraham and his relationship with God and talks about this huge historical figure in the faith and God's plan of salvation in the Old Testament. And this is what he describes. He says, "So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Abraham believed in God, and he was given righteousness by God because he believed in him. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All the nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For those who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. It's verse 10. It says that Abraham believed God. Now, this guy lived thousands of years before Jesus physically lived on this earth. So Jesus has existed always, but came as a person. And Abraham had lived thousands of years before. And God says to him, sacrifice your son. And Abraham is willing to do that, but God then stops him. But Abraham, because of his faith and trust in God, is given righteousness. This is where we see how God interacts with us. It's not by what we can earn or what we can do. And he is credited righteousness. It is given to him. Now, for a moment, how many people in here have a credit card? Raise your hand. Yep. No, mostly leaders, which is probably appropriate. You don't. You're messing. So here's my question, though. Let's say, just real quick, that Kara Clark was like, guess what? I'm going to take a picture of my own face, and I'm going to print it out on this little card. I'm going to cut it out, I'm going to put my name on it, and then I'm going to laminate it so it looks official. And then she walks into a crazy store that she loves, like whatever, I don't know. What do you love? Where do you love to? Forever 21. Are you serious? Okay. You walk into Forever 21, and you say to yourself, hey, I'm going to buy everything in this store with my laminated picture of my own face. And you put it down. You give it to the clerk. What are they going to say to you? Get out of the store. It doesn't make any sense. The purpose of a credit card, the purpose of credit, is that company is trusted by the businesses because they can pay for sure. The company, they know that Visa has the ability to pay. So when you go, it's not you saying, hey, trust my face. Look how cool my face is. I'm going to walk out of here with stuff. No, it's them saying, we trust Visa that they will pay no matter what. And we can have faith in that. And the credit is brought to the table by somebody who is able to pay. You and I, because of our sin, we cannot pay the debt that we have before us. But Jesus can. And it says that because of faith, Abraham was credited righteousness. There's no way that we can repay this debt that we have to God because our sin is so big and he is so perfect. If somebody tried to give you $1 billion and gave you $1 billion, just stacks of $100 bills at your house, it's like $1 billion. How much do you make for allowance, do you think? Typically, zero? Does anybody have an allowance? No, nothing? Anything at all? All right, okay, nobody? What is it? $15 a month, okay. If somebody gave you $1 billion, would you be like, hey, let's figure out a payment plan with my $15 a month, and then we'll eventually get there if I live to be 1,010 years old? No, you would never say that. The amount that you're given is so huge. Listen to me. The reason you think that you can pay back God is because you don't think the gift that you've been given is very big. Being a Christian is not repaying God. It's understanding that what you've been given is so unbelievable that you live your life out of a place of gratitude and thankfulness and saying, God, I can never give back to you what you've given to me, but you're worthy of everything that I have. Not because I'm trying to earn something, not because I'm trying to give something back to you or make my way up to you, but saying, God, what you've done is so amazing. I could never repay you, but yet you deserve everything that I have because you are the only one who is worthy. The more you realize what God has given you, the less you're going to try to repay him for what he's done. It's not about just following the rules. Rules aren't bad. We should try to follow the rules, but not out of a place of earning something to God. It's about us finding ourselves in him and desiring the things that he desires because he's incredible. Not following the rules to earn something, not trying to repay this debt that's way too big for any of us to repay. And it's not impossible having a relationship with God. So you could say to yourself, well, what's it about? Like, if I'm not supposed to follow the rules, if I can't repay this debt, then it sounds like it's an impossible thing for me to actually have a relationship with God. And the more impossible you think that it is, the more you're going to understand this gift of grace we've been given in Jesus. Verses 10 through 14, this is what it says. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything that is written in the book of the law. So he's saying, look, there's no way. It is impossible for you to follow all of the rules. So Paul is setting this up. He's saying, there's no way for you to make it there on your own. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith, or on the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole or a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. He's saying you are cursed if you're trying to follow all the rules. You can't do it. He's saying that is impossible, but the things that are impossible with us are possible with God because of who he is. So that when we see things as impossible, and then Jesus delivers us from them, we can realize that this is a true gift that we couldn't earn on our own. And Jesus showed us this in his life. Like, how many people in this room could actually heal someone who was born blind? Nobody. How many people could feed 5,000 people off of just a little bit of food? Who could walk on water in this room? Because those things are impossible with us, but they are possible with God. Jesus showed us that he can do things that we cannot. One of the thoughts that we can have about faith is that, look, if I'm just trying to follow all these rules and we can get ourselves in this rules mentality, we can live in a culture that says we just want to break all the rules. We want to be free from all rules and all sort of regulations that the man puts on us, or like, I don't want to follow these laws and rules. You get frustrated by that. You feel like irritated by your teachers telling you you have to do certain things or not do certain things. Slavery to God is where ultimate true freedom is found. So I am fascinated by this Mars thing, which is like one of the weirdest things I think I've ever heard. It sounds like it's out of a science fiction novel. If you went to Mars and I said to you, here's your oxygen hose, it's 30 feet long. And I said, look, you can only go 30 feet because if you go further than that, you will cease to breathe oxygen, which you need in order to live. Is that me giving you a rule? Or is that me helping you survive? Helping you survive. Us being connected to God, a slave to him and his desires, is when we are connected to the true source that actually gives us life. And that is not God saying, don't do these things because I want to control you. It's him saying, this is the way you stay in relationship and close to me. Slavery to God is where true freedom is found, as if I gave you an oxygen hose and said, only go 30 feet. If you stay within this range, you will have life and have freedom. But if you go further, you will be outside of the range in which you will be able to survive and have true life. God wants you to be free. But the way we do that is surrendering ourselves fully to who he is and understanding what he did for us on the cross. Let's pray together and then we'll go to connection groups. Father, thank you for this gift that you've given us that's bigger than we can even imagine or think about or understand. You are incredible. Help us to see in greater measure the grace that you have given us through Christ. Tear down our pride. Help us to not think that we could earn anything before you and surrender ourselves more fully to who you are. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.